everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 145 of your Overseas Connection. We are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly.
Yeah.
And today, December 6th, 2011. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, doing it old school. Kind of.
Old school.
Sort of. Yeah. And that's Mr. Michael Chin. Or Mike Chin, excuse me. My full
Yeah. Officially, my name is Mike Chin. I don't mind Michael. It makes me sound posh. How you doing, listeners? How you doing, Greg?
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
I'm excited for this week. I predict some arguing. That's all I got to say.
I predict a riot.
I'm also predicting Richard Primrose on the show today.
It's not Richard Primrose. I've recently changed my name by Deadpool to John Virgo.
Deadpool. And,
yeah.
What the hell's Deadpool?
It's Deadpool because I'm dead to you, and I am now John Virgo.
So it's like Deadpool for zombies.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I've been playing that much Dark Souls that I am officially now undead.
Nice.
Okay.
Anything you say, John. Anything you say.
Yeah. Whatever
Where's
you say,
Mr. Where's that cue ball going?
Where's that cue ball going?
Well, I also...
What do you think of Jubb's performance at the moment, John?
Not too bad. Oh, I gave it away by saying didn't I?
Yeah, kind of.
Never mind.
Hey.
All right.
Guess who's not on the show this week?
CPM.
Yes, Mr. Christopher Matthew decided he had better things to do, which I think includes playing Battlefield 3.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a tough argument. It's great.
He put me in invite earlier. He just took the hoof.
Yeah, it is a bit of a tough argument. I think I would rather be playing Battlefield 3, but oh well.
CPM is a tough cookie. If he doesn't like you, he'll tell you.
He's told me several times.
Yeah, I fear for my life while I'm on Skype to him. That's how hard he is.
Well, I guess we got nothing more to say, but let's just start talking about what we've been playing, guys.
Oh, God.
All right, so what we've been playing, I'm going to steal the spotlight this week.
Yeah, you do it, yeah, Greg. You do it.
I'm jumping in line first.
Morning, Greg. It's pretty late for me. I'll probably fall asleep by the end of this.
Yeah. Well, I will try to make it
only joke.
Fairly quick.
Wonderful.
Skyrim, of course.
Skyrim.
Skyrim out there. Playing a lot of that. We've talked about it at length. So
please thank the 360 Gamercast for putting Skyrim, gotta get down on Skyrim in my head. Thanks a lot, boys.
Yes, you may.
So what you been playing?
I've also been playing Batman Arkham City and Uncharted 3.
I want you to say Skyrim again so I can sing that.
No, I'm not going to do that to you. Skyrim.
Skyrim! All right.
Yeah.
So, Skyrim, Greg.
No, we're over talking about it. I mean, I'm loving the game, still playing it. Enjoying it. Started a new character.
Really?
Yeah. So here was the funny thing. So remember how we were talking about that choice that you were so angry that you missed?
Does it not matter at all?
No, it does, actually. It sets you on kind of – it does and it doesn't. I shouldn't say it that way. It does and it doesn't. It doesn't matter in that they basically – the character you follow on your escape – ends up sending you to the same place. So you get sent to the same first little river town, and you know, your questing starts off in the same manner in that regard. So I guess ultimately it doesn't really matter which direction you choose. However, the weapons and the character that you follow are completely different. So the feel of the story was different because the first time I played through, I followed the escapee from the renegade
Stormcloak,
followed him, and the entire time he's talking about fighting the Empire and the Imperials and you know, and basically kind of being on the side of, you know, the rising tide against, you know, the overlords, and it had
Did
that
you say
kind of
rebel new character.
Yes. Sorry. So this was my first character. So then I started up a new character. And I purposely went to the guard and followed him because it's actually an Imperial guard that you have the other choice with. And the entire conversation and the battles that you fight through there are all on the side of the Imperials. And so you go in and he's talking about, you know, basically fighting against the rebels and how, you know, they need to squash the rebellion. And you end up, your first encounter is in the torture chamber, but you're fighting alongside the guards and the torturer and you're taking out the rebels. And, it was just an interesting spin. I did try and kill the guy, the Imperial, once we escaped and we're outside in the mountains, and that was not a good proposition for me. He's much stronger than you are at that point. But it just gave the start of the game a different flavor. I mean,
that route that you took there, the second right. one, is my first one. That's what I did.
Okay. But so my plan is with the second character, I'm actually going to join the Empire. I'm going to go that route. So I'm playing a little bit more of an evil character, if you will.
Cool.
Yeah. But having fun with it. But yeah, so that's, you know, Skyrim, we've talked about it at length. It's a great game, even though you can't figure that out, Mike. It's okay. Batman Arkham City.
Yes.
Talk a little Batman.
Batman.
I had pretty lofty expectations for Batman.
Well, people have been saying it's great, Greg.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my expectations have been met or exceeded.
Okay.
But there's a few things that haven't quite lived up to what I was anticipating. So,
what?
Yeah. So, I mean, the good stuff. So, visually, this game is gorgeous, just like the first one.
You fancy the game, Greg?
Are you going to marry it like I married Dark Souls?
No.
Okay.
I don't know that the open world environment really lends itself well to Batman Arkham City.
Why so?
Well, I think one of the things that helped Batman Arkham Asylum out was the fact that it was, I mean, even though it was kind of an open environment, it was kind of contained and linear in your progression. And because it wasn't this huge open world, you kind of were along a directed path. And it helped the story move along, and it just helped with the setting. In this, this huge open city feels just like one big, drab, dark, soulless city. And maybe that is the motif of Gotham, but man, I am not really excited or wanting to explore and search around within the city environment because all the rooftops look and feel the same. There's gargoyles everywhere. It just, I don't know, it's almost too depressing, for lack of a better way to put it. And yeah, I'm not like looking over and saying, God, I want to go explore over there. It's more when I look over there, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to go over there at some point.
Is there a good mix of, terrain? They did a really good job in Arkham City of, like, giving you, like, botanical gardens and stuff like that, you know, to mix it up a bit.
I haven't come across that yet. Now, granted, I haven't played a ton of time into Batman yet, so, I mean...
How many hours?
No, about just over an hour. I mean, I got through... That is all. But, so, let me go back to... Going back to some of the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have a brilliant opening sequence for Batman Arkham City. One of the better opening sequences that I've seen for a video game in a long time.
Question?
Yes, answer.
Do you have the Catwoman DLC?
I do not, because I rented this game. So that's another one of my complaints. So the opening sequence of Batman is excellent. And so I enjoyed that very much. So again, I feel like I'm on a bit of a roller coaster with Batman. There's times where I'm really enjoying it, and there's times where I'm really not, and I'm feeling like I'm kind of forcing myself to go along and play. Voice acting wise, it also seems hit or miss. Some of the voice acting seems really well done, and then some of the voice acting seems a little bit over the top, comic booky, And I know it is a comic book hero game, but
Catwoman is Catwoman.
Yeah, Catwoman is one of them. I did not care for her at all. And it just, I mean, it just makes for kind of an unbalanced experience for me. And it's very surprising because I really went into this game thinking I was going to have just a fantastic time with it. And I don't know that the open world truly is helping this game out at all. If anything, I would much prefer it being more linear, because I enjoy the combat and those situations a lot more. But I don't know. Maybe my mind will change on this as I get further into the game. But right now, open world not liking so much. The universe of Batman still, I mean, it's enjoyable. And graphically and audio-wise, I mean, the game is hitting pretty much all the right cues. It's got a ton of gadgets to it. It has the leveling up progression systems in it. But, I mean, honestly, it feels like Batman Arkham Asylum just in a huge sandbox as opposed to the linear story that we played before. I don't know that I'm feeling a lot has changed with this game, and maybe that's one of my other issues. So
it's not changed enough? And
yeah, it's like a 1.5 upgrade as opposed to a full-on sequel. And maybe that's being a little unfair to the game, but at least that's my experience so far.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
Now, conversely, a game that I really kind of was going into thinking I was not going to enjoy it nearly as much as other people had is Uncharted 3. Mm. And I have to say, my opinion has completely changed on this game. I am thoroughly enjoying the storyline of the campaign. The voice acting and the direction are so well done in Uncharted 3. It is, I mean, it really is head and shoulders above everything else from voice acting and direction-wise this year in terms of the story.
You think it's better than 2?
Campaign-wise and story and voice acting, it is at least on par with 2, if not better. I need to play more into this game before I can say it's fully better than 2 or not, because I did not care for the way they handled the latter part of Uncharted 2.
The very end.
Yeah, the ending was definitely a disappointment. So, you know, so far, Uncharted 3, the story and the voice acting are all absolutely fantastic. And you get engrossed and involved in the story. And it's very much like watching a very good, Indiana Jones type movie. I do have complaints. The game mechanics in Uncharted 3 seem very contextually sensitive. One of my big issues is the jumping and kind of climbing mechanics. If you don't hit things spot on or the direction that you need to be facing perfectly, oftentimes you will find yourself just kind of like, if you have to leap up to go over a wall, say, and you don't hit it just perfectly, you'll just sit there kind of jumping up into the side of the wall that you're supposed to be jumping up to.
Right.
And it becomes problematic because they do a lot of those, I'll call them quick time events, even though they're not necessarily quick time events, but they're kind of those quick time chase scenes where you're trying to run away from a bad guy or you're trying to run to catch up to somebody and you're having to hop over fences and navigate alleyways. And sometimes the camera isn't necessarily helpful in showing you where your next area is that you need to go to. And they don't necessarily do a good job of kind of making those areas obvious. So there's some rooftop sequences that were actually a little difficult because there's times where you just suddenly are kind of, well, which way do I go? Mm. And you find out kind of the last second. But again, if you're not hitting the contextual box just perfectly to activate that jump right, you're dying. The platforming part of it breaks.
But it's not. It's worse than 2, is what you're saying.
It feels worse than 2. It does feel worse than 2. And the shooting still, I know they did this update and I got the update, but I'm not liking the shooting all
that
much.
They patched the aiming.
Yeah, they patched it, but I think it was for multiplayer. I don't think it was for the single player. But, I didn't really care for Uncharted 2's shooting mechanic all that much either. So, again, my expectation wasn't real high, so it's not that big of a deal to me. And I think a true testament to this game is the fact that even with these quirks and these things that aren't necessarily working perfectly, I'm still absolutely wrapped up in the story and enjoying the campaign. So, you know, it's not that big of an issue if I'm able to look past it and still enjoy it. Certainly, it would knock it down from a scoring standpoint, but this is still a fantastic game and one that I would highly recommend to anybody. And also, this game, just like Batman Arkham City, has one of the best opening sequences of any campaign I've experienced in a long, long time.
Wow.
So it's nice to see developers doing something different when it comes to their storylines, especially when you're getting into games that are sequels and trilogies. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I'm not going to go into detail.
No spoilers, Greg. No spoilers.
No spoilers, because I don't have any kind of cool sound for spoilers.
Nope.
But anyway, so Uncharted 3, definitely recommend it. And then just, you know, in terms of the new dashboard, you know, I've been fiddling around with that. We just had an update for that. I've been part of the preview program.
Look at you.
Yep, yep. And so, you know, a couple of the new features that I've been kind of playing around with, cloud saves.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff, especially for those of you that do a lot of traveling around and maybe go to other places where there's somebody who has an Xbox, but you don't necessarily want to have to lug around your game saves or whatever. It's going to make life 1,000 times easier.
Could you save your gamertag to the cloud?
Like, yes. The gamertag is now technically saved to the cloud as well, but now also your game saves will be there as well.
It is, I suppose. It's just like downloading it. When you recover your gamertag from
it won't be as perilous as recovery of gamertag as it was before. I know before they were like, only do this if you really have to. Now it's kind of part of it. And the game saves also, they give you, I want to say it's 511 or 12 megabytes of storage space. So it's not a huge, huge amount, but it certainly is enough that when you select it and you'll be able to manage it for a couple key games that you maybe want to take somewhere else.
Cool.
And it just shows up like an additional hard drive on your save settings. So as you go to, say, you know, you want to create a new game save file, it'll ask you where you want to create it. And you can say either create it on your hard drive or move it to, you know, put it on the cloud save. And likewise, if you have something on your hard drive, you should be able to move it over into the cloud save file. So it's a good feature. I also was testing out some of the new video apps. There's some cool new partners they're getting. I'm liking what they're doing. I was playing around with the Epix movie channel. It all seemed to work very well. And the voice connect recognition stuff all again works with the entire dashboard now. You're not having to go to a separate dashboard to access Kinect. It's all one seamless unit, which will be a welcome change for those of you that have Kinect, because I can't tell you how frustrating it was when we first had it. It would actually take you to a separate dashboard that was completely void of the games marketplace, video marketplace. I mean, it really felt like you were kind of, because you had Kinect, you were experiencing only half of what Xbox Live had to offer. And then in terms of just the paneling and the way they've handled it, it all works horizontally now as opposed to vertically. And the windows all, they flow together nicely. It will take probably a little bit of getting used to at first. Because things are set up slightly different, but it seems faster to me, so I welcome that. But the only thing I wish they could have done that they didn't do yet would be to up the friends list. But that's always, I think, going to be a request we'll have.
What's it standing on now? Still 100?
Still 100. Still 100.
Damn me.
Yeah, but they do have the beacons. The beacons are nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. Easy.
Sweet.
Done. Rich, why don't you go next? Got quite
okay. Yeah, new game that I played this week was Ace Combat. Is it Assault Horizon?
Yeah.
Is that like the Call of Duty in airplanes kind of game?
Yeah. It started off really well. I like it a lot because things with me, I don't think I can do simulators all the time. I think we had a bit of a word about it with Chris last week. So I like the way it started because they put you in this helicopter mission, you know, like on a minigun type thing.
Right.
And the game engine in it blows away anything that I've played in any other game. Now, I realise that they've got to distribute their assets to doing other things like in a first-person shooter and so on, whereas this one is like solely going to be in the air. But it looked really nice, and the destructibility of everything was second to none, and the sound and everything was really good. So it started off really strong. I enjoyed doing the first couple of missions as far as the jets were concerned and so on. But when you start doing the dogfighting, and I know they've put like a cool mechanic in where you can latch on to whatever you're tailing.
Right, right.
When this a circle will appear on your like your display.
Is it the circle of life?
Circle of death.
It is a circle of death. I mean, it's kind of a lock-on mechanic, and it makes flying easier.
Yeah, because it does it, and it adds. It's got some really good. It trips into like set pieces as well while you're doing it, which is
right.
The way that they've done that is really nice. It's smooth, so it'll give you some like blockbuster type moments where, say, the other plane starts flying really low through a factory that's burning or an oil refinery, and you're weaving through loads of chimneys and stuff, and you do have to make like controlled decisions. It's not a quick time event or anything. You've got to make certain control decisions to make that chase carry on. Or it'll just break off. So that's really clever, and I like that. But when you're doing the normal dogfighting, where you're trying to latch onto your targets, find a target, thrust to get near them, and I just found that was getting a bit tedious, doing the same thing all the time, because like you're doing one mission and it'd go, another wave's coming in from the north, so you go, right, okay, I'll go off there, you clear them out, there's like five or six of them, right, you've got to burn right, and then go for another dogfight, and you've got a load of them again. So it is good, but I just don't think it's my bag, really, with as far as that's concerned. Now, I do know that there's AC-130 missions and stuff in that. If I was to finish the mission that I'm on now, and then it pops up another varied mission, then that's probably going to retain my interest, and I'm going to want to carry on playing it. But if I'm doing the same thing over and over again, then I probably will lose interest in it. But so far, it's been promising, but I hope it just doesn't do too much of the same.
Rich, can I ask, how is the story in this mission, or in this game?
It's not too bad, actually.
I've found previous Ace Combat games, their storylines to be pretty hokey.
Yeah. It's... All right. You're talking to the guy that really enjoyed... in his own funny way, the what was the game we played last year? The Japanese one, where you're doing all the sliding. It was like Gears of War.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Vanquish.
Yeah, Vanquish.
Look, I didn't mind that story, even though it was cheesy. I thought it was really good. And this is the same sort of thing. It's cheesy acting. There is a storyline, and it's taking you from one set piece to another. But yeah, it's passable. It's all right. Not too bad.
All right.
Because of all of the recent podcasting and talk about Assassin's Creed Revelations, I thought, right, I've got to get my arse in gear and go back to Brotherhood to try and get the story finished off. So I've gone back into that. I've got one thing to say about that at the minute.
And that is?
I've gone back into it, and I don't like the combat anymore.
You are.
And you know
crazy.
Why? You know why I don't like the combat?
Because of Dark Souls.
Dark Souls combat is so much better. It is. It just feels so clunky now. Whereas, one of the first podcasts I did with you guys was when I was playing Assassin's Creed 2. I was going, I can't believe how smooth it is. But playing this now, I'm comparing it, and I'm like thinking it doesn't feel as good. I'm getting a bit irritated. I think story-wise as well, which I think I've gone back into it, and I don't like massive stealth portions. I like to be able to fight my way out of it. I like to try the stealth when I cock it up, I can just fight my way out. But I seem to be doing missions at the minute where it just desynchronizes if you get spotted. And that does me gridding. I don't like that. So I've done like two missions on the trot where that's playing a big part in it. So, but I'm gonna soldier on and get through that because I want to see what happens to the story. Because the one thing with Assassin's Creed is I just want more of the story all the time. So I do want to see if there's any twists and so on.
I want to hear about.
Yeah.
And this actually kind of goes back to speaking about soldiering on.
Mm-hmm.
Is the next game on your list?
Iron Brigade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Greg was pestering me throughout the week to download it and try it.
Download it.
So I did download it and I tried it and I really liked it. It's good. But I want to draw a comparison. Probably not one that would stick out, but it is a similar type of game to Orcs Must Die.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm now looking at it in the same light as when I was looking at Orcs Must Die, when that got put on the arcade. And there was a lot of other really good games that I had to play. And I think a lot of us said, I'm not going to buy it now because there's a lot of other good games out. Now, I've got to say that about Iron Brigade. There's too many games out at the minute. But I couldn't say that about Orcs Must Die because I think Orcs Must Die, to me, feels better. Because I've been playing that as well this week. And the way that that game's... And I can't say how Iron Brigade did open out, but the appeal that I got from that initially forced me to make the purchase. And what I'm getting out of that game as far as the way that things are unlocking,
mm-hmm.
so on in that game, the way you can upgrade things. I mean, at the moment now, it's opened up like a skill tree that you can basically buy and unlock things to help you throughout the game.
Right.
Sort of like a Borderlands type thing. And it just seems like there's a lot of depth into this game. And I'm just enjoying the levels a lot. So I've got to say I'd take Orcs Must Die over it, but I still think Iron Brigade is a good game.
Well, here's the good news, because I have it and CPM has it. And it's an arcade game. We'll always have it. So as soon as you get it, whether it be on discount or just down the road, you're going to have peeps to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one thing it's got over it as well. Cause it's
that's
got
what you said when I bought Onslaught for Battlefield Bad Company 2 and no one ever played with me.
I know, and then I sold Battlefield Bad Company 2.
F my life.
Moving on.
Yeah, move fucking swiftly on, Greg.
Battlefield 3. Got a good chunk of people on Sunday night. I started off on my own. Grabbed Firefly, I think. And then Corzan, Jeff, and we had eight altogether. We was running with two squads.
Okay.
And we got them all into the same game and everything. And we was just, we had a right good laugh. It was good. Yeah. Red Cap was in. And we had Dana. Yeah, it was good. Good night. We had about 4 hours on it, which was good.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, still enjoying that to the maximum. Dark Souls. I can't keep going on about it.
No, you cannot.
People are heeding the message and they're trying it, and so far I've not had any complaints. So, people, stay on it, man, because it's worth it. Mike, I want you to really try it.
I've not tried it.
No, I want you to, because you know, all this, I heard you talking on Veteran Gamers about Skyrim, and a lot of the things that you were saying,
I will kill you.
And I am getting it, is what was really scaring me away from getting it, because it reminded me a lot of Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this game ticks the boxes that Oblivion never did, so I just think you should at least rent it, just to give it a bash.
So I think I've kind of figured out why I personally didn't care for Dark Souls. And I think this may be one of those deciding factors of whether people like Dark Souls or don't like Dark Souls. at least from my playthrough with Dark Souls seemed to be almost entirely about the leveling up of your character and just kind of getting through each area as opposed to the overarching story. It seems like the story really takes a second seat to the gameplay and the mechanics of Dark Souls. The story, it's there, but it's not a driving force in the game. You're not getting into cutscenes and you know, dialogue moments where you're really pushing forward on this, you know, this story and this direction. And I think that was why I had an issue with Dark Souls. I kind of just was like, well, okay, I'm just going to go here and I'm going here. And I never felt like I'm going here because I need to get this to talk to so-and-so, or, you know, it didn't have those RPG trappings of the fetch quests or whatever. And maybe that's not a bad thing. For me, it was. I need in my RPG games, my big, you know, time-wasting games like that, to have that kind of huge over-the-top story that, you know, I'm saving the world and doing this grandiose adventure.
So from what you played of Dark Souls then, Greg?
Yes.
What did you take to be your main purpose and what you was meant to be doing from when you got out of the asylum and which was basically the tutorial?
What I took from Dark Souls was I was trying to get out of the asylum. I was just trying to get an escape.
So when you had a conversation when you first get set down?
Oh, and that was the other problem. That conversation to me completely washed right over my head. I didn't get a chance to pay attention to it. And it wasn't a repeated conversation, and I missed. And there was fuck all that happened after that that ever got me back on track with the storyline. And I knew I missed probably important bits of the story, but it was irritating to me that, okay, well, all right, I missed that. What next?
If you missed it, you can just walk up to him again and press A, and he'll tell you again what he just told you.
Oh, now you tell me.
I shouldn't have to tell you. That works in just about every game, mate.
No, so no. Then I went off. I went adventuring, and I got the goddamn skeletons.
Where all the hardcore things were, and got your ass kicked.
Yeah,
no, but there is a story to it, and it does have cutscenes as you play through. It does have cutscenes, and that's the beauty of it for me as well, because it's so cool because it's not telling you everything. You're just gradually working your way towards what's going to be the end, and it's like any game. I like it when you get a big surprise at the end, and I'm sure I'm going to get it with this. And I'll just say this as well.
There's a horrible joke to be made about the big surprise at the end, but I'm not going to go there.
And there's no aliens in it. And yeah, I'll just say one more thing about Dark Souls, so we'll get off it. Come across the best looking boss I've seen ever on a game. So far, and I can't beat it. I've walked away from it, and I've found somewhere else to go. And that's the other good thing about this. The map branches off so well. When you're not leveled up enough, you'll find that there's something else to do. There's a door that you can unlock, and then you've got a whole new region to explore. And that's why I don't mind doing it. Because the impression I was getting was you had to go down the same track, get killed over and over again until you were strong enough to get through to the next bit. And that's not the way it plays out.
Right, but when you're saying the map opens up, you're just saying that the environment, the world opens up, because you don't actually have a map.
You don't have a map, no. But you don't need it, because you're memorizing everything. It's not a big, complex world. It's not like you're playing Skyrim and you've got X hundred miles square to cover. You're basically looking at some land with a castle, and that's about it. From what I've seen up to yet. And because you're playing in short, close quarters, which basically make a clever way, I think Stu was talking about this, where you get like shortcuts when you go on side missions and stuff, and they bring you back to somewhere. Well, the beauty of this game is, it's not a side mission, it's the game. And it will give you a shortcut, and then all of a sudden you've got more access to the areas you were at before. So, and it works very clever with that, for your bonfires and so on. So
now I can't believe I'm about to say this to you, Rich. But I'm going to ask you to curtail the Dark Souls conversation and move on to 3DS conversation.
Not a problem.
Whoa. What just happened? What just happened?
I've had a go on the 3DS, yeah.
Yeah.
We bought my son a 3DS for Christmas. Don't tell him, because Santa got it in.
Santa ruined it already.
So we had to charge it up, get it ready.
Clearly you had to, yes.
Yeah, I don't want to be sitting there, and poor lad's got to wait around for hours on Christmas Day morning.
Had to try all the games you bought him too, huh?
Nah, didn't do that. I tell you what, right, I was close to it, because we got Mario Karts. I'm like, should I try it? And I was like, nah, I can't do it. So we had a bash on Face Raiders, me and Michelina did. And,
okay.
We was laughing at that. It seemed really good. I'm impressed with the 3D in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I played it a bit
at Eurogame. I like it. It works well. Yeah, it's good. I love the way as well because, our lads, they say you're not supposed to try it, till you're over six. So our lad's only five. And it has got parental controls in there. So there's no way that you can accidentally switch it on. So you get your code in, you put a code in, and then that's it. It's off.
It's good you're being a responsible parent.
Yeah, definitely. We've got to do that. Don't want him buggering his eyes up. Anyway, so on the back of that, because I've got a bit of an interest in it, I've been like floating around town, and I thought, I want to try out a couple of games just to see what's out there. And,
Of course I am.
So I got Mario Land's already in the bag. We've got Mario Kart because that suits our James. And I played Mario Land today. I've got to say, I'll agree with Mr. Conga. It's a very good looking game. And yeah. I do like the way that the 3D works in it. Seems to be very clear. It's not just a token thing in there by the looks of it. I mean, I was only on it for about 10, 15 minutes. But, it is a key part to the puzzle solving, which is going to probably frustrate awesome because I'm going to switch it off. Never mind. But the one that I was having a go at today, that impressed me with the 3D the most was, Zelda. Yeah, because the way that it uses a perspective in that is awesome. Because it changes the magnification of the character and so on when you run into the screen and it gives you a lot more depth. I think our son might be becoming a Zelda fan.
Whether he wants to or not.
Whether he wants to or not. Yeah. That was it. Looking forward to that. I can't wait till Christmas. I'll probably be kicking him off it.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah. Really
excellent.
Good. And I had a brief go on Tropico 4.
And I
think I'll pick that. I'd like to pick that up as a bargain because it seems like one of the games you can just pick up when you want, do a bit, move on, come back to it. So, yeah, I like the look of that.
Yeah, and then Tropico 4, just a clarification, RTS game, correct? Like a city, almost like a SimCity builder, but in the tropics.
Yeah, and it's got, you know, there's going to be, you can tell there's going to be a bit of war in it and stuff as well, because you can build the same thing you would have in an RTS, your bases and stuff for generating soldiers and all that lot. But it seems like it's got a lot of depth to that.
Keep the citizenry intact. Create soldiers to knock them down. Good. Awesome.
Oh, and that boss in Dark Souls as well, it was a wolf, and it was lovely. Don't want to kill it.
Mike, what are you playing?
Okay, so last week we talked about every time I'm going to play Skyrim, I'm going to do like a little diary, Greg.
Yes.
Now, I've done this.
I'm nervously excited for this.
Okay. So here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. First chapter. Standing at the door, facing the boss that I don't want to fight. This is partly the reason why I didn't want to play this game at all, but I'm going to go in. Sixth attempt now. Giving up after this one if I don't do it. I've given up. I'm getting back out of this fucking stupid cave. I'm out the cave. I don't know which quest to pick. Ah, I found my horse. I deserted it on like the ice caps like ages ago. But I found it again. Cool. Switch the game off. I haven't played it since. 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I haven't played my Xbox since. That's how much this game's affected me.
It affected you that much.
Well, Now, let me give you a little bit of context there. That was a bit unfair on Skyrim. Saturday night, I was dog sitting.
Okay.
A friend of mine has a new dog, and he's the size of a normal dog, but he's still a puppy, and you think he's a normal dog, but he's still a puppy, because he's a German Shepherd, and they grow really quick,
yes.
Right? He went to a wedding, and he said to me, do you mind looking after... His name's Duke, by the way. Right. Do you mind looking after Duke? Because I've got to go to his wedding, you know, whatever. I was like, okay, fine. I'll do that.
Right.
And
it's just the last time you ever say, sure, you'll do that.
Well, he's a crazy dog. He's a puppy, right? So he took a little bite at me. Like, he bit me a few times, and he tries to pump my leg all the while and all this. Like you know, puppies do. But he was all right. He was just playing, you know.
Like all your house guests, right?
Yeah, like, it's just standard when you get into my house. But, like, you know, he did bite me once really good. But he's a puppy, right? So he doesn't really know what he's doing. Anyway, like, Duke was, like, sitting there in the living room, and I gave him a bone, right? And he was just chewing on this bone, right? And I was watching TV. I was watching QI. I was like, right, okay. I was around my mate Marshy's house. So, Marshy's got Skyrim. I brought my hard drives. I'm going to play Skyrim a bit. 10 minutes in, when I find my horse, the dog goes, no, you don't want to play Skyrim. Let's play with me. Time to play with me. Let's go. All right. And I was like, why have you jumped up now? So the reason why I switched off Skyrim was because that dog found it, that moment, the perfect opportunity to go crazy. And I just haven't really played the Xbox since. I played a bit of the campaign of Gears of War 3 in arcade mode with my brother.
Okay.
As you know, my brother is a Gears of War addict.
He is.
Addiction. So I haven't really just in general, I just haven't played Xbox at all, really. And that's that.
Okay.
That's me. Yeah.
Well, it happens. There are those times, and the holidays definitely make it difficult to get some gaming time in.
I was hoping to get some Skyrim time in. I handed in some work, and I was like, yeah, I can get some time in, but. You know, something came up, we couldn't do
it. Mike,
so.
Admit it. You thought, I've got all the free time in the world. I could play Skyrim. Or I could do this really tedious report.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do the report.
Or I could watch this ant blink for 5 hours. Yeah.
Well,
so I do plan on playing it tomorrow, and I still want to keep a diary. So I haven't. My opinion of Skyrim hasn't really changed. From
I kind of gathered. But I'm hoping that it will click for you. Because
so am I.
There's some enjoyment to be had there.
Because at the moment, I'm finding it as annoying as Richie's breathing right now.
Words are right out of my mouth. And on that note, I think it's time we talk about some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. We've got not really a lot of games to talk about, guys. Let's talk Wii first. The Adventures of Tintin, the game. I know, we were all anticipating this greatly. And the next game, even bigger than Tintin, Oregon Trail. I know what you guys are thinking. Oregon Trail. That game came out, like, when I wasn't even born. But yes, Oregon Trail out on the Wii this week. If you don't know what that game is, definitely look it up.
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, you should. Look it up. It was actually kind of one of those old text adventure-based games way back in the day, and they've reinvented it. Yeah. On the PS3 this week, a little more tantalizing things. Of course, we still have The Adventures of Tintin the game, but we also have Just Dance 3 coming to the PS3. And on the PSN front, Dragon Age 2.
Interesting. That should be brought up today.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VI, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, and Wanted Core. All coming out to the old PSN. A few demos as well. Burger Time World War, or World Tour, not World War.
World War.
Yeah, Burger Time World War, baby.
Jeez.
GoldenEye 007 Reloaded has demo out. That actually might be worth checking out. And Rage comes out to the PSN this week.
Rage.
And all of the Xbox 360 owners of Battlefield 3 can now be jealous because out today on the PS3, the Back to Karkland pack. Back to Karkand. And
Back to Bark.
Exclusive to the PS3 for a week.
For a week?
A week, yeah.
That's not it.
That's it. It'll be out next week. But don't fret. If you have an Xbox 360, there are some things to play. You've got The Adventures of Tintin this week. Yeah. Yeah. I know. You're excited. There's some DLC to be had. Defense Grid, guys. Defense Grid, You Monster. Out
you
this
monster
week.
Monster. Pool reference.
Yeah, it's going to be $5. So...
What is it, though? Is it because the other ones were like 2 maps per pack? What's crap with it?
I have no details as to what this might be. Maybe you...
No,
could.
Good, Greg.
Look Excuse at the tapping.
Yeah, go ahead, look for it. You also have some Forza Motorsport 4 DLC finally coming out. The December IGN pack comes out this week. That'll be $7. And on the deals of the week, some nice offerings. Prince of Persia, the original game.
Oh!
Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime, as Richard has an orgasm.
Oh!
Laura Croft, Guardian of Light, also out this week. For deals of the week, basically half off, so if you are interested in any of those games, you should check it out. Rich, can you tell me about Defense Grid DLC now, please?
Oh! Right, okay. It's got Zoe in it from Left 4 Dead series. Okay. You've got to survive the deadly wrath of the second included character, which is, guess who? GLaDOS.
Oh.
GLaDOS is in fucking Defense Grid. Yeah.
This now just became... this might be Game of the Year contender right now.
Game of the Year.
Listen to this! Right. Pack will cost $4.99 on Steam, $400 Microsoft on Xbox. It's a great piece of content, not only for fans of the games who have dabbled in Valve games as well, but with 35 new missions, you'll be testing for quite a while.
How many achievements?
Don't say.
Probably like 50.
God damn it, Rich.
I can't imagine it being.
When's that out?
It's out Wednesday.
Fucking hell.
So there you go. And that,
screw Skyrim,
is the new releases for this week.
I don't get it, though, because there's a video here, and it's not the Events Grid. It's fucking Portal.
Let it go, Rich. Let it go.
Let it go.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And we're back.
And we're back, Mike. We're back.
Yes.
Yes, we are. News. Yeah. We're talking news right now.
What do you want me to do with these tissues?
Please throw them away.
News.
All right. So a couple of news headlines I thought we would talk about real fast. One, this I was told we had to include in our news, literally told we had to by Mr. Steve Conger. So, of course, you know, this is going to have to do with a game that none of us care about, but probably some Wii lover out there like he cares about. Xenoblade finally coming to North America. Yep. Basically, April 2nd next year. This is the game that, of course, Nintendo for the longest time said they had no plans to bring out to the States. And everybody kind of questioned why, because they had the European version that was already translated into English. There's no reason why. Yeah. So Steve is happy. I guess that makes us happy. The new dashboard for the 360 comes out today, supposedly, but it did get delayed. The latest news was it was coming out at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but as we've already discussed with Rich earlier, before the show, it isn't out yet.
I read, Imagine Nelson tweeted that it could be a matter of hours or days, which doesn't really narrow it down. Thanks.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. This actually feels kind of like the Gears of War DLC delay, where they didn't give a time frame, and it ended up popping out pretty quickly later on in the afternoon. My guess is probably tomorrow. But what you do get to look forward to, cloud saves, beacons, new video content apps, the new windowed look, of course, the Kinect integration, and the Bing search.
Bing, 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 bing. We get like Love Film and all that stuff as well. That should be fun.
Yeah. Now, the one thing about the video content apps, not all the video content apps that they talked about before will be releasing day and date with the new dashboard. So things like YouTube are still in the works, and they haven't quite yet. Yeah. But
Love Film's out, though.
I do believe
iPlayer's coming.
Yeah. iPlayer's coming. Daily Motion, Sci-Fi Channel, Epics. Those all will be there.
Basically, Microsoft has now made it virtually impossible for me to switch my PS3 on, because that's the only reason I'll switch it on. I think in the foreseeable future, Uncharted 3 is going to be the only thing I switch it on for. Apart from that, sorry, PlayStation.
Now, the other cool thing that was an interesting article I read that was talking about the new dashboard update, and how it was kind of revolutionizing the whole video content arena. Because there's a lot of TVs and stuff now that are coming out with like a Netflix app on it, or they're coming out with, you know, Google TV, things like that.
Smart TVs, they call them.
Yes, smart TVs. But the problem with those smart TVs is that to use any of those apps, you have to enter into that app and use it. And then if you want to either use another app or go back to the TV, you have to exit out of it.
Ugh.
The interesting thing about the 360's new dashboard update with the Bing search, you'll actually be able to search all the content. So whether it's on Epic, Sci-Fi, Love Film, if you say, you know, search Iron Man 2, it will give you all the options for Iron Man 2 available. And then you can select which one you want based on what content you have.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it is cool stuff, and it definitely is changing the way we access these kind of things. So, something to look forward to for sure. Wii U. That's all I had to say, Wii U. No, the specs.
Wii U.
Yeah. They have been leaked, at least that's the rumor, that these are basically some of the final specs for the Wii U, and some interesting stuff coming out of this. So supposedly it was going to be hitting in March 2012, but that now is looking very much in doubt, and a lot of people are saying the Wii U isn't going to launch until after E3 sometime. But what they are saying is going to have a quad-core 3 gigahertz IBM PowerPC CPU, which is very much similar to the architecture of the 360. It's said to have anywhere from 768 megabytes of embedded DRAM to up to a full gigabyte of dedicated RAM. And again, the speculation is Nintendo is testing out both variants of the RAM to figure out what they can kind of get away with. And then it will have an ATI-based GPU.
So, sounds a little technical, Greg.
It is rather technical, far more technical than either of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
you could have said the word pen, and that would be true.
Yes, it will have a pen. No, it won't have a pen.
Too technical for me, pens.
Yes, they're very technical. The whole ballpoint thing, I don't know how they do it. But yeah, so those are some of the gaming headlines. It's a slow time of the year right now. Not a whole heck of a lot going on. But what we do have going on is Game of the Year awards discussions. So last week we started everything off. We kicked it off talking about three different categories. We had best motion/casual game.
Yeah.
And we narrowed it down to Fruit Ninja, Sims 3, and Little Big Planet 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we told everybody that in the forums, there's going to be a poll, which it is still coming, we promise, that you'll be able to go to and vote for which game you feel is the best for that category. And we also told people that, you know, hey, if you had a game that you felt we unfairly took out, and we had enough of an outcry that we potentially would add it back in. I know one person threw back in a vote for Gunstringer.
Yeah, that was to be expected, though.
Yeah, Gunstringer, you know, and it was one that we kind of heavily debated. But I don't know that we're quite ready to bring that one back in. I think it's still an outlier unless we hear more grumblings for Gunstringer. At this point, unfortunately, it stays out.
Sorry.
Yeah. We also talked about worst game and biggest disappointment.
Yep.
And this is probably one we need to talk about a little bit. So we had Brink, Mindjack, and Dragon Age 2 as our finalists. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there was a realization that we might have left a few games off. In fact, we did leave a few games off the list. Red Faction Armageddon and Body Count were two of the games that we had left off the list. And we all discussed this pre-show. We don't think either of those games truly would supplant any of the other three on the list, being either worse or a bigger disappointment. But there's a third game, and this game, I think, there's a strong argument that maybe it should be included on this list. And that's Duke Nukem Forever.
How did we forget it?
I think we forgot it because it was that forgettable. You know what I mean? It did not leave a lasting impression. It was a bad game. It was a big disappointment from the standpoint that so many people that fondly remember Duke were expecting big things from the game, and it didn't deliver. Mike, I know you had something to say about this, and you were holding off on saying anything until the show, so I'm going to give you a moment.
So here's what I think, Greg. About we forgot Duke Nukem. We forgot to include Duke Nukem.
Yes.
But was it the biggest disappointment or the worst game of this year? Because Dragon Age 2, people were expecting it to be great. You know, Dragon Age 1, a lot of people enjoyed. It's made by BioWare, one of the best developers of this generation. So people was expecting, you know, a possible 9 out of 10, maybe even 10 out of 10 from Dragon Age 2. It was looking better. It looked like they even adopted the Mass Effect 2 kind of, you know, formula. So it was looking good. And it bombed big time, right? So it went from a potential 9 out of 10 to like a 3 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10. Whereas Duke Nukem, people were kind of expecting maybe it would be good, but in general, people were saying it's going to be shit, but I have to play it because it's Duke Nukem. So therefore, people were only expecting maybe a 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, and it got like a 5 out of 10, so it's not the biggest disappointment.
Okay, but what about worst game? Would you say this is one of the worst games?
I haven't played Dragon Age 2, but I've played and finished Duke Nukem, and it's not, by any means, it's not a terrible, like, epitable, the worst thing that just ever existed type of game. Like, it works. Some of the level designs are really good, but it is pretty bad, like, in general. Like, you know, I would say it's a bad game, but, like, there are moments in it where that they're pretty good, you know, and it comes together really well.
Okay.
So I don't think Duke Nukem should be the biggest disappointment or the worst game. I think Dragon Age 2 was a bigger disappointment.
Maybe worse game
than Duke Nukem, I don't know, but like it's definitely a bigger disappointment.
So maybe we put the death watch on Duke Nukem and see if the community rallies enough behind it.
I say so.
Yeah, but we bring it back in. Okay.
What about what they already have rallied behind? You know, you spoke about Gunstringer.
Right. So, Mike, I know you have some of the forum responses off of this this poll here. So why don't you go ahead and go through some of those.
So, I got a few here. Not too many because, you know, they go on. But Spitfire Ian says, Brink was a good game. The disappointment for me was the application of the lobby system. My biggest disappointment, though, was L.A. Noire. The facial animations was good, but it's a pity that they didn't apply the same effort to the rest of the game. Burn! And Knight XXXL, or XXL, says, Brink showed so much promise at Eurogamer 2010. Instead, it was a total letdown. I got it cheap from Asda, for $15 the week after release and traded it into GameStation the following week for $14. Worth every pound I've ever spent. Corzan said, and now Bremer for me, Brink was a total letdown, followed by the hype. It started to look great and then and move great, but the total letdown of content and general gameplay was my biggest issue. So Brink is kind of a popular one at the moment. JSS Lifelike, he's always like controversial as we know. He says, I can't even cast about on this one with as much of a problem I had with Dragon Age 2. It was at least engaging most of the way through. Now, L.A. Noir, not so much. Where's the candidate writing box? He's never happy. He's always got to have his own kind of unique version, isn't he, Steve? He's like, no, but there's one game that no one else knew about, but I knew about, which was exactly for this category. Anyway, somebody else called Gamer Girl said, I have to go with Dragon Age 2. Even though I haven't finished it, I loved Dragon Age Origins. So when Dragon Age 2 was announced, I was excited. There would be new companions, new places to explore. Yay! I like the new combat system and almost everything. What I hated, the comparisons in the first one, I got attached to my little goon squad, and if I made a mistake and drove one off, or even pissed them off in the littlest way, I would reload my previous save and then fix it. Dragon Age 2 companions, I couldn't care less, except for Sebastian. I don't know what she's going into there. You've got to play the game to understand. Maybe that's why I haven't picked it up again, and I should really see how it unfolds, or maybe just start another Dragon Age Origins run through. Alistar awaits. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Brink, Dragon Age 2. It's a bit of a divided one. L.A. Noir gets mentioned as well.
Yeah, L.A. Noir, yeah. Interesting. We're definitely going to see
as much as I like L.A. Noir, like, I can't argue with it. You know, like, I can't. People's expecting big things from that, and for some, that expectation dropped big time, you know? So I can't argue too much about L.A. Noir, even though I love it.
No. We'll definitely have to pay some special attention to that category and see if there's a continuing thread on maybe L.A. Noir, see if that maybe rises up that maybe it should be included. So we'll wait and see on that. Best overlooked game, Rich. We had Warhammer 40K, Space Marine, Little Big Planet 2, and Infamous 2 making our list. And I know we had some forum responses on this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So basically, we had – I'll go down to the one that actually makes a comment about one.
So we should probably make a quick clarification. This was a really tough category. Best overlooked game. I know a lot of the forum responses were kind of like, you know what, I didn't play any of these games, or I overlooked them, so how can I tell you what the best one is? I mean, things of that nature. And I guess, at least from my perspective, what I would say back to you is, okay, look, if you played one of these games and you liked it and you didn't play the others, you could still vote and vote for the game you played. And you know, I mean, it would, in a sense, kind of be you saying, you know, hey, this was a good game. It was overlooked. I would also say, you know, for those of you that haven't played any of these games and were kind of reluctant to pass judgment because you were saying, you know what, hey, out of all these games, you know, I didn't play any of them. I kind of overlooked all of them. You know, if there's a particular game in there that you know got exceptionally, you know, critically well received, again, I think that would kind of qualify you to say, you know what, I think this probably is the best overlooked game because it really did receive high Metacritic scores. You know, I know even the podcast host, maybe you listen to us talking about it and saying, you know, it was a really good game. Things like of that nature might help you in making some of your decisions, but don't be afraid to vote.
Don't
get
be
in there,
afraid
vote.
Of the dark.
Or if you've played one, obviously, that you thought didn't get talked about enough, then obviously you put that in, and then we'll try and get it back in.
Yeah, because, you know, as we already showed, Duke Nukem Forever, hello, we do miss a few games here and there. We try to be thorough, but on occasion we're going to miss something.
We're not perfect, Greg.
We are, well, I'm perfect,
oh,
but, you know.
All right, sorry.
What about L.A. Noir? Right. Is that going back in?
Yeah.
Get lost.
Come on. How many people
Rich
on that forum?
Yeah, I know. It's great that we have all these opinions and stuff, even though they are wrong, so we should ignore them.
No. Get it in.
Well,
let's put defense grid in.
Yeah, we might have to. But we're certainly going to keep a watchful eye on that situation because we do know Elinor has received a few mentions.
Yes.
If it continues to get mentions, then, you know, we are going to have to put it back in. But anyway, let's move on. Rich, you did have a few forum responses. You were going to talk about those. Go ahead and fire off on those.
Yeah, so Kevin Knight, he says, to release Warhammer Space Marine a week before Gears 3 was just stupid. It's not as stupid as releasing it the same week. Played a demo, enjoyed it, but similar to Gears for a purchase for me. Little Big Planet 2 was too similar to the original. Played it for a week or two, lost interest in it. Shame, because he enjoyed the first. Didn't get Uncharted 2 because it was around the time of the PlayStation hacking, and I sold my PS Triple. So his vote was Warhammer.
Okay.
Yep. He even says it's kind of a paradox because anyone who overlooked the vote is, I'm not even reading that, that's what we've just been talking about. Job done. I'm not reading mine. Next one down. I was on about Dark Souls. So they say, Shinyverse says that's what he would have nominated. Because it was critically acclaimed, but barely anyone is playing it. So I am vindicated, even though it's not there. Moving on, Marcanix. He said, bugger, I've not played any either. Wouldn't be right to vote. Saints Row the Third is my vote. Yeah, that's worthwhile as well. See, more people say that, because it probably hasn't got the... I think the critics are loving it, though, aren't they?
It definitely is. And again, this was one of those tough decisions we had to make last week because a game like Saints Row the Third certainly has gotten attention. It has had some sales numbers behind it, so we know it hasn't done horrible. So it was hard for us to say this game has truly been overlooked. Is it being passed up on right now by people because they're having to make a hard decision because there's, you know, a bunch of really great AAA games coming out, and maybe Saints Row is taking a back seat to those? Yeah, I would say that probably is happening. I still don't think it is a quote-unquote overlooked game as so much as it's, I'm going to play this game, but I'm going to play it maybe in December or January, not right now, because I want to play Uncharted, I want to play Modern Warfare right now. I don't know. But maybe then again, maybe that's the definition of overlooked. All right. Sorry.
That's it.
All right. Well, let's get into our categories. So, Mike.
Force Rudder.
Yeah. Best weapon, gadget, feature in game. Why don't you run through the list of what we've got here.
Aight.
And let's start arguing.
How many of these are we going through today?
All the ones in our notes.
Really?
So we gotta start making. Yep. We gotta start making some cuts. Let's go.
Oh, God. We gotta be very aggressive. We can't be too picky on
this.
Right. So, best weapon / gadget / feature in a game this year: Wingstick, Rage, Sawed-off Shotgun, Gears of War 3, Shotgun, Rage, Drake Sword, Dark Souls, Portal Gun, Portal 2, Clairvoyance, Spell, Skyrim. Don't know what that is. Sniper Rifle, Bullet Storm, Silverback, Gears, Drones, Homefront, Line Gun in Dead Space 2, Overkill Pro in Modern Warfare 3, Respawn Beacon in Battlefield 3, Magnet Gun in Red Faction Armageddon, Hookblade in Assassin's Creed Rev, Grapnel in Batman Arkham City, Pool Cue in Uncharted 3. Straight away, get rid of
straight away
Overkill Pro in Modern Warfare 3.
I mean, it's a great feature because it allows you to not only carry, you know, dual assault rifles, but it also allows you to have dual assault rifles with dual attachments on them.
I don't want to give this award to a perk.
But, okay. You know what? I'm not going to argue too much on that because I think there are other better guns, gadgets on this list. So.
Okay. So, let's go. I can't delete it because Google's being stupid, so someone...
All right. I'll do some
coloring. Someone drop that for me. NYPD. Oh, I've got to load it back up here. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go. Drones, home front.
Nah.
Yeah, they were done in the previous game that those guys did, so that Chaos Studios did. So, yeah, I can see that going.
Sawn-off shotgun and shotgun in Rise and Gears of War. Not terribly exciting. Shotguns.
I don't know. The one in Rage was. When you upgrade it with the bullets, it's like a rocket launcher. It's good.
Yeah, it was a rocket launcher. Let's keep the Rage one on.
Get rid of Gears of War. All right.
So the clairvoyant spell. So we can talk about this.
You're
so the clairvoyant spell.
I don't know what this is.
You're on your own.
Basically, you cast this spell, and based on whatever quest you have set up, and you've marked off as the quest you're working on, it actually, in a sense, creates a path for you to follow. Tells you where you need to go to get to that quest.
Oh, you mean like the Wayfinder in Fable, which you get for free, and it's not a weapon or anything. Get rid of it.
Touche. As soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, okay. All right. Sniper rifle and bullet storm. What was special about that?
Oh, when you fire the bullet, you follow the bullet. You guide it.
You could guide the... when you hit a person, when you shoot the person, you could guide the person into another person. And stuff like that.
No.
Is that all right?
No, but the whole guiding the sniper rifle bullet's been done before, though. That's been done before in games. That's nothing special.
What, guiding the bullet? And then it goes into bullet time. What was that? I need to play that. What was it?
You can do it in Batman with the Batarang. You can do it in Dark Sector with the
blade.
The blade. Dark Sector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could also do it in... what the hell is the name of that RPG game that was a spy RPG?
Oh, right, yeah.
Alpha Protocol. So, yeah, it's gone.
Bye-bye. Portal Gun, Portal 2. Portal 2 is a great game, but the Portal Gun isn't a new thing. It's a sequel. We all got over the Portal Gun. I'll get rid of it.
Yeah, but you got your new paints, didn't you, and stuff to fuck about.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say paint, does it? It says Portal Gun.
All right. For sure.
I'm not gonna argue.
I'm really tired, and I'm trying to get through this list.
All right. The pool cue in Uncharted 3, I mean, it was...
We're not giving this award to a pool cue.
Yeah. It's more gimmicky.
Get
so,
out of
okay.
here.
That's gone. The Grapnel in Batman Arkham City, honestly, kind of the same from Batman Arkham Asylum. So, I don't know. Unless any of you think it really is worthy,
I don't know what it is.
Basically, it's like the grapple hook.
Right.
I mean, for lack of a better way to put it.
Is it as good as the grapple hook in Just Cause 2?
No, because that one was magical. That one you could fire up in the sky and just connect to things.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get rid of it. It's not exciting, man. You're not selling it. Line gun from Dead Space 2, bleh.
It's kind of cool.
I didn't even use it. Not in this one.
No, I didn't. I used wood.
All right. I'm not gonna put a big argument over that. I've got my place to put my argument for. All right. Hookblade, Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Has anybody played it here?
I have not.
No,
I've heard people talking
I'm
about
not
it.
Either.
I don't think.
I mean, it's you use it for the zip lines.
All right.
You use it to do a kind of cool assassination move. You jump over the guy with the hookblade and you kind of fling him back over yourself. I don't think it's anything terribly new or exciting.
It's cool, but...
It's cool. But it's more a zipline mechanic than anything.
It's not very original. It's just a hook, in it, you know what I mean? It's not original, kind of looks strange and new.
Alright. I'm not going to argue for it. Anybody want to argue for it?
Nope.
Gone.
Alright, so far we have left the Wing Stick from Rage, the Shotgun from Rage, the Drake Sword from Dark Souls, the Silverback from Gears of War 3, the Respawn Beacon from Battlefield 3, and the Magnet Gun from Red Faction Armageddon.
That Magnet Gun was cool.
Rich, make your case for the Drake Sword, because I don't know anything about it other than the fact that it's a really powerful sword.
Yeah. Well, it's a drop that you can get early on in the game, and basically, I'm running now at level 33, and I still think it's the best weapon I've got. So, for RPG, that's kick-ass. It's
cool. So it's a really... Okay, but all I'm hearing, and you're going to have to, again, you're going to have to come at me with something better, because all I'm hearing is it's a really powerful sword that you can game the game to get it early.
You're not gaming the game. It was put there deliberately.
It's in the dragon's tail, but most people get it early because you hide in the corner where the dragon can't get you, and you just shoot arrows at the tail and make it fall off.
Yeah.
Okay. But what is it about this sword, other than the fact that it's super powerful, that makes it cool or different?
What makes it cool is when you're using it in the complex combat, which is really satisfying, you feel even more satisfied because you've got a really powerful weapon that looks really cool. I mean, this thing's etched out of fucking dragon bones, man. So, yeah, I think it's cool.
All right, Mike.
Fighting talk. You want fighting talk, Gregors? You got fucking fighting talk. Drake
yeah,
sword.
Well, let's, in. Drake sword. For me, it's on the bubble right now. I'm not hearing anything that's making me say this is a extremely cool, great gadget, new and different, whatever.
Okay, I tell you this.
It's just a fucking powerful sword.
It's a special fucking move. You put your shield away, yeah? Hold it with two hands, keep your finger down on the fucking trigger, and it literally causes a fucking earthquake. All right.
See,
that sounds better.
That's selling me a little bit.
Yeah.
Where the sold hell was that early on in the conversation?
That would be if I was selling this sword, totally that would be definitely the first thing I'd tell the customer.
Yeah, I know.
I was building up to it. Move on. Nothing to see here.
Get rid of shotgun rage. It's boring me.
I'll let you have the shotgun rage.
Which one's cooler? Rage.
The wing stick is by far cooler than the shotgun.
Get rid of the shotgun, because he's already got two. So.
Alright. Shotgun is gone.
Bye-bye. The only thing is with a wing stick, though, you have to build it like a fucking Airfix model.
Yeah, but man, it has some useful application.
You're on the back foot now then, Gregors. Come on.
You can get it around corners. It is a quick secondary weapon, so when you're stuck and you've run out of ammo, you can fling out the wing stick really fast, and by far some of the coolest death animations I've seen with the wing stick. Stuck in the dude's head, on the ground, blood squirting out.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I like that one. Respawn beacon.
Now, useful.
Respawn.
This one, I almost want to put this up there because
it's great for tactics and stuff, yeah, which is the whole point of that game.
And honestly, it's probably one of the least used by the disorganized, but if you look at the teams that are really organized and good, they use that respawn beacon effectively.
I mean, I've known people use it so they can fucking get parachutes into the flyover on Terran.
Yeah.
So that they can snipe you from up above, and you don't know where the bloody hell they are.
So I'm inclined to say maybe that should be staying right now.
But like, it's not new, is it? Like Modern Warfare 2 had the tactical insertion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I was to say between what's left, I'd go Silverback or Magnet Gun, because the Magnet Gun was cool, even though I didn't play the game, I played the demo, and I really enjoyed the Magnet Gun.
All right, I will let the respawn beacon go.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since we know they had something very similar to it with the tactical insertion. So we're down to wing stick, Drake sword, silverback, and the magnet gun.
I'm happy to get rid of the silverback because it's a mech like we've seen it before.
You're just trying to piss Greg off.
I know you're not.
Like, like at least the other three are like. Kind and
they're cool gadget features.
Yeah,
the magnet gun to be honest is more cool than the silverback.
Yeah, fine.
So
I think
I'm okay with letting the silverback go. Yeah,
fantastic. So we are left with Greg for the best weapon / gadget / feature in the game: the windstick from Rage, the Drake sword from Dark Souls, and the magnet gun from Red Faction Armageddon.
Yep.
All right, do you want me to read out the next ones?
Yeah, why don't you take the next ones?
Okay. So, the worst weapon slash gadget slash feature in the game. Here we go. These are quite funny, aren't they? Really. Any flying vehicle in Battlefield 3. Weapon silencers.
Sin.
In Battlefield 3. Voice combat controls in Halo Anniversary. Kinect driving in Forza 4. Head cam view in Shift 2. Horses in Skyrim. That's staying. Digger in Gears 3. No map in Dark Souls. No map! Dildo bat in Saints Row the Third. Now, I think the dildo bat is brilliant in Saints Row the Third. So I vote to get that off because that's not a bad weapon. That's funny.
You know, I mean, it's overly cheesy, and I don't know. To me,
I think that
felt
be the best
obnoxious.
Gadget. I think it should be the best gadget.
No, it's certainly not the best gadget. But I don't have a problem with taking it off. I mean, it certainly isn't a horrible. I mean, it works. It's a bat. You can kill people with it. I thought probably needlessly flaunting the "we'll do anything crazy." But yeah,
we've completely missed a plethora of weapons as well. Of Dead Rising 2. Like?
Yeah.
Never mind.
But the thing is, as dildos go, Greg, I think the one in Saints Row 3 has probably killed more than any other dildo that's ever existed. So as a weapon, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Alright, so remind me what the digger is in Gears 3.
That's the digger is under the ground.
Yeah.
Ah, that's more of a kind of like a fuck you weapon, like, you know, especially.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a bit of a fuck you weapon. I can't say it's completely useless, but it's definitely, I mean, it's not the most useful weapon.
It's hard to master. Like people,
it is.
Some people are really good with that.
Yeah. You almost have to kind of catch people by surprise with the digger weapon. They have to be like their attention caught elsewhere. Otherwise, you hear it coming, you just jump out of the way. But I don't think it's by far the worst.
No, I don't think it's the worst. I don't think so.
So I think we can eliminate that one.
Sweet. I don't care about head cam view in Shift 2. I don't know how bad it was.
It wasn't great. And I think the reason why it wasn't great was because it wasn't really tied to your head. So as the car would go into a turn, the camera would automatically shift its perspective, whether you wanted it to or not.
Right.
And it actually bad. it was disorienting. Mm. It was a neat idea, and if it had been tied to, say, like a Kinect camera and actually moved with your view, it would have been successful. But again, I don't know that it's the worst out of these.
Okay.
That we have left. So
I'm all right.
I'm okay with it coming off. Rich?
Fine. Not played it, so don't know.
Okay.
I'm surprised tactical lights aren't on here from Battlefield 3.
That's because Chris wasn't on here. We could probably throw those in there. They have gimped them down, but
I would put them in. Yeah, I would put them in.
In fact, why don't we can supplant them, tactical lights, over the flying vehicles.
Weapons.
I hate flying vehicles.
Well, what's so bad about weapon silencers?
Well, because they're useless in Battlefield 3.
Are they?
There's no fucking point to having your gun silenced.
Does that stop you coming up on the map? Or?
Yeah, they do. I disagree with that. I disagree with it because I've just picked one up for the that M249, you know, the support weapon.
Yeah, but see, combat typically happens so far away that silencers, I don't know. To me, they don't have as big an impact.
It does when you put it on an LMG and it stops kicking like a mule.
I think you lose.
No.
I think you kind of got a debate here, Greg. So I think for that reason.
I know. I'm not going to argue it, especially over tactical light, because I think
everybody who plays Battlefield 3 hates the tactical light.
Yeah, I think that one's staying.
Voice controls for Halo, what are they?
Well, it's the combat voice controls.
So,
and it's not that they're horrible. They're a slight bit laggy. So, like, you say grenade.
Oh, God,
you
really?
Throw a grenade. Yes.
It chucks at you, squad mate.
Yeah. And what's even better is, let's say I'm playing and you just walk in the room, you could just start shouting, grenade, grenade, grenade.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to throw all my grenades.
Honey, have you got those grenades back there? Oh, love. I'm trying to – oh.
Yeah, so that to me is –
gimmicky.
It's gimmicky, but
– It is bad.
It is bad.
Is it as bad as Kinect driving in Forza 4?
It makes you wonder what's going to happen with Mass Effect 3 as well.
Yeah. I don't know that it's as bad as the Kinect driving in Forza 4.
Is that pretty bad? Is it to people you...
Well, it's not that it's... I mean, it works,
it's
but...
cheap. And it's...
Yeah,
it doesn't,
it's just cheap.
It's not in keeping with the game, is it?
Because yeah,
it's a pro sim racer, so why would you
right.
have that?
And then it gasses and brakes for you automatically, so all you're doing is the steering element of it.
Right.
I mean, that works okay, I guess. Horses in Skyrim suck.
I hate to say this. As much as the horses in Skyrim do suck balls, I'm looking at this list and maybe that has, can be taken off.
You can take, Dark Souls.
Well, that's just stupid. But you already made your case earlier.
Yeah,
when we were
and I'm not repeating myself.
Yeah. I know your fucking dragon sword or whatever is not going to win, so...
Dragon sword. Alright, so we're torn between at the moment for the worst weapon / gadget / feature in a game, Tactical Light for Battlefield 3, Voice Command Controls from Halo Anniversary, Kinect Driving in Forza 4, or Horses in Skyrim.
Let me make my case for horses staying.
No, don't worry, it's going to be an easy case.
It is an easy case because the horses, while they move faster, they have their usefulness there. They do run faster
slow.
Than you run. You can actually make them gallop if you want.
Yeah, no, but they're still slow. And they don't gallop for very long.
But the problem I have with horses, you can't fight from a horse. You can't cast spells from the horse. So literally, by putting yourself on a horse, you are hurting yourself when a combat situation comes up.
You have to
and
get
for
off
that
the
reason,
horse.
They're a useless feature in Skyrim.
Yeah. Are they worse than the ones in Assassin's Creed?
No, because Assassin's Creed.
Oh no, those
horses moved better.
You could, you could fight from them. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So are they worse? And you said
I think so. Yes, they're worse. Sorry, yes,
right.
They are worse.
Well, I don't like them in Assassin's Creed, so I'll say that they're bad.
Halo. Get that off.
Coming off.
Yeah, because as that is, it's not. Really, I mean, it's just something that you could just.
No, that's just. A griefing situation. It works. It's not that it doesn't work. So,
so we got.
Yeah, I say Halo comes off.
Phil's cheap. Tactical Lights, which is cheap, and horses, which are dumb.
There you go. Boom.
Okay. Now for our next category, it's the Pamela's a Bitch Award. So broken tech in gaming. Anything that went tits up in the tech kind of software side of things this year, and up for grabs. Is the whole of PlayStation Network. Battlefield 3 servers, which are renowned for just being awful at launch. Modern Warfare 3 Elite service, as we know recently, the Elite service was down. Test Driver Limited 2 servers, when the game was released, it was practically unplayable online. And for a game that is based upon its online play, was very disappointing. Kinect Games, I don't know much about that one. Greg...
Yeah, I mean we'll talk about it in a second, but I mean you know Kinect games in general.
Steam breach. I think Steam got hacked very briefly, and
some
accounts got stolen or something. And Move support. I don't know a lot about that one. So you want to elaborate on the Kinect games and Move support? I agree.
Well, I think actually probably I think we can make this a very quick elimination. I think Kinect games. I mean. As much as everybody wants to say that there's lag and issues with certain Kinect games, on a whole, they're working and people are enjoying them. So I don't think it really should be up on the list or staying up on the list.
Compared to the other ones, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Move support, again, you know, Move only games, yeah, I suppose we could make a case there really aren't any out there, but they're supporting Move. They're putting it in games. So again, I can't say that should be up on there.
Right.
The Steam breach, yeah, it was a big deal, But Steam handled it very
well.
Yeah,
I think they handled it well. They was very transparent.
They addressed it right away.
Yeah.
So I think Steam Breach can come off. Rich, chime in anytime if you want to argue any of these.
Yeah, because I think you only want one of the two major things to do with that, and it's got to be Sony. Sony's got to be main contender, hasn't it? So.
Sony's got to be in there. Sony has to be in there.
Yeah. I mean, Sony PlayStation Network is definitely in there.
I've got to say, the Modern Warfare thing has got to stay in, because that's, you know, as much as you've got issues of money with Sony PSN, then you've got the same with the Elite service, and that was a big letdown. Right.
So really, it's the Battlefield 3 servers versus the Test Drive.
Now, what my argument is, Battlefield 3 should stay in because
impact.
It's they had a beta.
The fucking month before.
A month before, where they practically couldn't change anything because the game goes gold a month anyway, a month before the game's release. So they had a beta, which was basically a demo for no reason. The beta
right,
was meant
but
to come
they specifically said that beta was for network testing. That's why I say Battlefield 3 stays.
There you go.
We take Test Drive off.
I think we should take Test Drive off because no one cares about that game. We got Sony PlayStation, the whole of Sony PlayStation, which was famous for breaking down and no one could get on. Battlefield 3 servers, which are infamous for always not working. And Modern Warfare 3 Elite service, where people paid a subscription fee to Activision, to Kotick himself, and they got nothing for it.
Yeah.
Next one, Greg.
Alright, so next one is Best Supporting Character.
Yes.
In the game.
Best Supporting Character.
So,
do you want to read these one out, Greg? Give me a rest.
Yeah, I'll read them. I'll read them through.
Right.
So we've got Wheatley from Portal 2, Cave Johnson from Portal 2, Dan Hagar from Rage, Nolan Stross from Dead Space 2, Victor Sullivan from Uncharted 3, Rusty from L.A. Noire, Zeke from Infamous 2, Joker from Batman Arkham City, Dom from Gears of War 3, Baird from Gears of War 3, Captain Price from Modern Warfare 3, David Seraph from Deus Ex Human Revolution, Dr. Malakoff from Resistance 3, and Varric from Dragon Age 2.
Now, Rusty from L.A. Noire, I'll take that off. I love L.A. Noire, but I don't remember who he is, so instantly that says alarm.
Rusty was the guy that went on patrol with you for a while. He was your partner.
Which one, the corrupt one?
No, the...
I got rid of it. I don't know
guy,
who he is.
But yeah, I agree. I don't think he was the best out of all of these.
Okay. Nolan Stross from Dead Space 2, I don't know.
He's a crazy guy. He's seen it all the way through.
Oh, yeah, the crazy guy. He wasn't too bad.
He wasn't too bad.
Why don't we address the Portal 2 ones real fast? Wheatley, Cave Johnson.
I think Wheatley has to stay. I think
Cave Johnson.
Really?
Cave Johnson was funny, man.
So was Wheatley, though.
Yeah, but...
Wheatley made that game.
I didn't like Wheatley when he turned and went bad.
He was still funny.
Spoiler.
Get over
wow,
it.
Wow, now alright, it's fine. I...
Old.
Sorry.
I really have no opinion on either of the characters. I mean,
well, they could both be in there. Carry on.
Let's see how this shakes out.
Dan Hagar. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I'm not that bothered. That was John Goodman.
Yeah,
oh, right.
John Goodman.
Okay.
He did great. My biggest problem was every time I heard him speak,
You saw John Goodman.
John Goodman's face.
He's a professional actor. Of course, he's going to do a good job. Do you think we should? You know,
yeah, but. It was funny because his voice and his mannerisms, I mean, again, it was John Goodman in the body of – it was like an outer body experience.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wasn't crazy about his character from that standpoint.
Yep. I vote to take Zeke off. Like, I haven't played Infamous 2, but I think Zeke is a pretty –
He was a better evolved character in Infamous 2.
Okay, that's fine. Like, but he's not a character that excites me really. Like, I think
no, and I think there's better characters on here, so I'm willing to forego arguing for Zeke.
I would argue Joker goes off because, you know, as great as he is, he's old news. You know, we had him in Arkham Asylum. You know, it's not something.
Yeah,
it's not something that it's new to us this year. You know.
Well, yeah, I would say that.
Dom and Baird for Gears of War 3 are odd choices.
Odd choices, you think?
I think they're odd choices. I don't. Either one of their performances don't stand out to me at all.
See, Dom's performance to me, I like Dom's performance in Gears of War 3. I thought it did stand out.
Keep it in. I think Baird is in straight off, right? Or.
Yeah, I think we could eliminate Baird. I mean, it was nice to see them delve a little deeper. You got a different side of Baird, but he wasn't that strong enough of a character that I think we should be keeping him on here.
I just muted myself because I knew I was going to do a spoiler then.
Okay, John Price, I think we could also probably take off.
Yeah, Captain from Modern Warfare 3. He's a good actor, and like, he's got a good voice. But
he's good. He's good.
Again, he's not new, is he? Yeah.
Well, but I don't want us just to be limiting ourselves to he's got to be new, because I think if they do an exceptional job, they should be recognized.
I suppose. Yeah, he's standard, I guess.
I don't really remember
I haven't played Deus Ex, Resident Evil, Resistance 3 or Dragon Age 2, so.
Malakoff's going to just be my vote just because I did not play either.
Primrose, so you object?
Who put this up? Stu's been on our website. Somebody hacked into our documents.
No, that was some influence from outsiders giving suggestions for potential nominees. And we just eliminated them, so fuck them. David Seraph, I liked his character in Deus Ex.
Who was he? Which one was he?
David Seraph was the, he owned the company.
Oh, right, yeah.
You work for.
Yep.
And he was a pretty well-realized character, so I enjoyed him.
Yeah, he gives you the impression all the time that he's a bit dubious and sort of like the guy out of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, I kept really kind of waiting for him to, you know, like the hammer to drop, so to speak, and the curtain to come down. And he had a bit of mysteriousness about him that was well played out.
Yeah. Well played, sir.
You know what? I'm looking at that and I'm looking at Varric. And then back at Dom, and I'm going to say, you know what, we get rid of Dom, unless anybody has a strong objection, because I think both David Seraph and Varric from Dragon Age 2 are better characters than Dom was.
I don't object, because I think
Dom's okay. All right, this leaves us right now with Wheatley, Cave Johnson, Nolan Strauss from Dead Space 2, Victor Sullivan from Uncharted 3, David Seraph from Deus Ex, and Varric from Dragon Age 2.
All I've got to ask of Varric is, would he be able to hold his own with a Drake sword?
He might. Well, he might. He was a fun character. He was fun, well voice acted, and in a sense, kind of. I mean, even though he wasn't a main character, he has a very important part of telling of Dragon Age 2, and probably one of the highlights to that game. Let's go back to Nolan Strauss.
I don't remember him.
I mean, I remember his character, but I don't remember him standing out to me.
He's the guy that sticks a screwdriver in the woman's eye.
Oh, yeah. Is he quite
I remember
him
being. He's skittish, crazy, but I don't know that I was overly impressed with his character.
Nah.
All right, get rid of him.
He was crazy guy, but I mean,
crazy guy is standard.
Victor Sullivan from Uncharted 3, I'm very impressed by him so far in my playthrough. I really am enjoying his character. I know he's not new, but he's worthy of being up on here, I think.
I can't say much.
The question is,
I can't say much because I haven't played 3, so.
Okay, let's get. I'm going to say we get rid of Varric from Dragon Age 2.
And I'll agree with that.
Seraph.
I don't care. I haven't played it.
All right. So now I'm going to say, I think the tough choice is we take one from Portal 2. Wheatley or Cave Johnson.
I want to keep Wheatley. I love Wheatley. I live Steve Merchant. I want to keep Steve Merchant. So.
I think you're only saying that because it's Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
I don't think he was funny. I thought
Which supporting character had the bigger impact on the story?
Wheatley.
But he's the main character, but it's a supporting character that we're voting for. So it could be somebody that just does a cameo.
Was he a main character?
Kay Johnson? No, Wheatley, he was, yeah. Wheatley's in it all the way through.
I suppose, but he's... You're the main character, aren't you?
Yeah. It's true. You are the main character.
So Shell's the main character in Portal 2.
I think for humour and for unfolding story, the key content of the story, which, when you look at Portal 2, was the best thing about it, was the fact that it did such a good job of giving you the full, well, unfolding more to you. I think because Cave Johnston was a key part of that, giving you that story.
Oh.
I thought it was the best.
Mike, he's making a good point there.
I've got a better one. So... That is the delivery of the developers, right? The developers kind of give him the lines and they develop the story throughout the game. However, with Wheatley's character, a lot of those lines were Stephen Merchant. It was his talent that brought that character to life. They even had an English voice actor doing it at the start and he just kind of did the standard job and they got Steve Merchant in and he made that his own. And he made that character. I was looking forward to seeing Wheatley again when I played Portal.
This is where we needed Chris, because he played Portal 2
as well.
And I think
because Stephen Merchant is such a high-profile actor, you got to know that insight of how they made that game. But how do you know that Cave Johnson's actor didn't do the same thing? Who, again, is a very well-versed American actor that's been in numerous high-profile American dramas.
But, like... He said he had a couple of funny lines. All right.
Who said that? He had a lot of funny lines.
I think the lemons was his famous part.
And I would say that also when they're talking about doing the testing on the, the insect men?
Yeah.
And the homeless stuff. And then you had all of the stuff that went with it.
I'm not going to back down on Wheatley. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna. I love it so much.
Can we make this question of the week?
we decide. That'd be funny.
Let's.
You're gonna have to cast it because we're not backing down.
I know,
Greg.
I know.
Go with the American, mate.
I have to say,
the American.
No, I have to say Wheatley's the more recognizable character.
See, as somebody who hasn't played the game, Greg.
Wheatley's the one I know.
Oh, you haven't played it, have you? You haven't got any sort of authority to vote. I want Chris to decide.
I have plenty of authority.
Oh, you haven't played either.
All right, let's do this. We'll table this. It's undecided as of right now. We're down to our final four. Certainly, if the forums want to chime in, they absolutely should.
Who is more worthy of being in this category? Wheatley
we'll
from
wait
Portal
till
2,
next week.
Cave Johnson.
Yes. In the meantime, I'm going to try and do some research on these two characters, and we'll hopefully get Chris to chime in as well, and we'll make a decision on best supporting character
next
week.
Yeah, I want you and Chris to come back next week, debate it, and then decide.
I know for a fact that Chris is going to back me.
I know for a fact. I'm going to wait until next week. Right. Moving on, last one.
And if you are going to debate it, I want you to listen to some sound bites as well. Because I
Absolutely.
Believe that Chris would find Cave Johnson funnier than Wheatley.
All right, Rich, let's move on. We're undecided at the moment. We're leaving it at that. Best sport / sim game.
Take them all off.
Go through the list.
Take them all off. Hold on, the one that I put last week isn't on there. Hang on, I'll put that back on.
Yeah, snooker is not happening.
You may as well just delete it straight after because
I know.
Get
as soon as you're writing it, it's getting deleted. Go for it, Rich. Lead us out. Go down the list. Tell
Stick
us who's
got to go.
You got to read it out.
Rich, Rich, stay
oh,
with
sorry,
me.
Sorry, all of it. Yeah, sorry. Shift 2, Forza 4, Dirt 3, FIFA 12, PES 12, F1 2011, Madden 12, Major League Baseball 2012, NHL 2012, and WSC 2011, which is the snooker game.
Okay, so off the bat, I think we can make some quick cuts.
Snooker. Yeah.
What?
I'm going to say, actually, starting from the top going down, shift two can come off.
Yeah.
I think we can cut dirt three.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not strongest at the racing.
Yeah.
You don't want free racing games.
I would agree. I think Pez 12 can come off.
Yep.
Yep.
Madden 12 can come off. Yep. I don't think that was as strong as
I don't think any of us would chat strong enough for it.
You're the American.
Yep.
Yeah,
MLB 2012 or MLB The Show. Either MLB The Show was pretty good. That was the PS3 one. But I'm not a big enough baseball fan to care. I hate to say it that way, but they just don't.
Baseball.
I play it. I don't like to play it on video games.
Okay.
NHL 2012 is an interesting one.
Something that you missed about Major League Baseball as well. It didn't have Sean McGuire in it. Mark McGuire, sorry.
Or Mark McGuire.
Mark McGuire once, yeah. Isn't it?
So, I mean, let's face it, guys. Are we just going to make snooker the game of the year and just settle it? Or are we going to kill snooker?
I would love it if snooker won. Like, just like everybody just went,
Mike,
let's vote snooker.
Mike, are you watching?
No.
It's dead. And I'm going to actually say this is actually probably pretty easy. I think NHL 12 comes off because F1 2011, FIFA 12, and Forza 4 really are the cream of the crop when it comes to sports franchises.
I would say people are talking about F1 more than NHL, right? But I would
agree.
But myself, personally, I think I would enjoy NHL more than F1. But I don't hear people talking about NHL these days.
Yeah, and I think F1 got also just a little more critical acclaim.
Yep.
I think, versus NHL 12.
I think if you took F1 off as well, the gay community would go mad. So let's take it off.
Yeah, well, we could. As is, it's going to be a big-ass fight. So we've got our three. Forza 4, FIFA 12, and F1 2011.
All the Fs.
All the Fs, and I think a lot of people saying FU in the forums because it's going to go back and forth. This, for our community, is probably one of the biggest debates.
Yep. I'd say so.
Because I know we've got a lot of people that love the FIFA.
FIFA.
But we also equally have a bunch of people that love the Forza. And F1 certainly has a huge following. Yep. So, yeah, we just we basically put our entire community at war with one another. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
So I think that wraps it up for today on the list, guys.
Damn.
Recap.
Yeah, Rich, would you do a recap for us? Go down real fast and then
recap.
Yes. So we had best weapon gadget feature in game. They are now whittled down to Wingstick from Rage, Drake Sword from Dark Souls, and the Magnet Gun from Red Faction Armageddon. Worst weapon gadget stroke feature in a game. Tactical Light, Battlefield 3, Kinect Driving for Forza 4, and the Horses from Skyrim. And the Pamela's A Bitch Award for Broken Tech in Gaming is down to Sony PSN, Battlefield 3 Servers, and Modern Warfare 3 Elite Service. And for the next one, it is Best Supporting Character, which is undecided so far. So we've got four. Wheatley from Portal 2 and Cave Johnson from Portal 2 will be decided. Victor Sullivan from Uncharted 3 is definitely in there. And David Sarif from Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Do it slowly.
Gregus, I love it. The spelling, yeah, great. Best sports sim Forza 4, FIFA 12, and F1 2011. To look at that, you probably, if you're listening and you're not in the gate community, you probably won't think much of that, but I'm sure that's going to be the one with the most posting.
Yeah, very well could be. All right, it's time for the show break. We'll come back, wrap the show up as quick as we can, because I know it's getting awfully late. So here we go, break time.
I was bored of my gaming. I've been playing too long. From Project Gotham to Halo, I'd even tired of Pong. But then I picked up a new game, one my friends never knew. I put a post on the forums to try to find a player too. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you, because you like a kid's game. If you play co-op games at midnight, when nobody can see, I got room on my friends list, send an invite to me. Started tending my garden, the grass had started to sprout, but I kept it all hidden, so my Halo clan would not find out. I logged into the forums to see if someone came by, and in a personal message, I got a single reply. Yes, I like Viva Pinata, and I feel quite ashamed. All my friends think it's stupid, and they call me rude names. I'm up for FIFA games at midnight, when nobody can see. Hit me up for some co-op, your secret is safe with me. So I turned on my Xbox and got a new friend request. But when I heard who had sent it, I would never have guessed. It was my clanmate from Halo, and I said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment, and I said, I never knew that you like Viva Pinata. Nobody could know that you're proud of your garden and its horstachios. Just make yourself a second gamer tag to ensure privacy. But if you want those achievements, come play co-op with me. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you.
The mail! Get the mail, Potter! Get the mail, Pip! You're in the mail, alright?
Alright, we are back from the break. And, well, community mailbag this week was rather simple. Basically, we just were asking for feedback on all the categories that we already were talking about. And more importantly, if there was a selection from all the games that we had basically eliminated that you felt, well, that game should be on that list. It shouldn't have been eliminated. And so we asked for forum feedback on that. And if there was enough of an uproar, similar to what we heard with L.A. Noire, that kind of thing, then maybe that game would get saved. So kicking it off, we had some forum responses specifically on the question input for the forums. I know this is sounding all confusing because we had the poll questions in a completely different area on the site It's under gaming news as opposed to gaming discussion as opposed to under the podcast feedback area.
Uh-huh.
So, that said, I didn't want these people to feel left out, so we had Mr. Kevin Knight, Knight XXL,
and of course
Richard Primrose coming back in time. Nicely done, Rich.
All I could think about was Defense Grid when I was away.
But yeah, so Kevin Knight, he said, I can't believe Gunstringer was left out. Gunstringer was a surprise hit and hit the shops at a reduced price. Some may argue that it was planned to be a live arcade release and Twisted Pixel were milking it for all it's worth, but reviews on Metacritic averaged 76, which isn't a bad score.
Nope.
It is different from the usual wave of shovelware that has moved from the Wii onto Kinect, added great humor and new ways to play with Kinect. He makes some valid points. He says, in fact, Twisted Pixel did such a good job in their Kinect support that Microsoft bought the company, and now Twisted Pixel works for them. That is true. And they did do some excellent Kinect integration with Gunstringer. I mean, it really was one of those bubble games. I mean, honestly, you know, I was trying to put up a fight for it, but at the end of the day, it fell a little bit short compared to the others, at least off of our discussions.
Yeah.
But hey, if other people feel strongly about Gunstringer, chime up. We'll give it some consideration. Let's see. GamerGirl27 also chimed in. She said, I definitely agree with Dark Souls as best overlooked game. It's another I haven't finished. I'm a bad gamer girl. But even the aggravation it has caused, first game I ever have rage quit, I want to finish it, hopefully one day. The demo for Warhammer was awesome. I need to pick that up as well.
Some games, gamer girl.
Yeah, start finishing those games, damn it.
Stop starting them and then not finishing them.
Come yeah. On. But,
come on, girl.
So it sounds like she actually is kind of making a case for Warhammer as well as Dark Souls.
The very end, yeah.
Yeah.
But, Warhammer's good as well.
Yeah, no. They're good games. Let's just face that fact.
We'll see about that.
Rich, there's some other responses. I think you are up next for reading those out.
Yeah, Parsnip Nose sent in. Test Drive Unlimited 2 definitely needs to be included as the biggest disappointment. Virtually the same game as the first one, and largely on exactly the same world, with nothing new to excite us. So, additional disappointment there. That's what we were saying. Shinyverse says, I agree with hers and Rich's agreement. Dark Souls is the best overlooked game to me. Great reviews and mediocre sales. Best equals best overlooked game. And the tweets came in as well. Game Girl says, I definitely think overhyped describes Dragon Age 2. Hashtag disappointed. Peter Red Dog, he said, I'm 100% with Chinny on Skyrim / yeah. Oblivion. I want to like it, but I can't.
Just can't.
Tony the Prawn says, Hi, mate. I'm in Melb, and I've found a top place to buy games. It's at Dungeon Crawl. Have a great prices and free shipping. Where'd that come from?
Well, that was actually a response. You remember way back when, I believe Metric Pizza was going on in the podcast about having a difficult time importing games and finding games at
cheap
price?
Yes.
So yeah, Tony the Prawn chimed in and gave him the hint on that dungeon crawl. So,
you know the key thing in that Twitter tweet?
Do say.
He's in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And his name is not Daniel.
This is true. It is.
So this dispels my theory completely.
No, but interestingly, it does start with a D. His first name is Dave. Maybe it's a D thing, not so much a Daniel thing. So the conspiracy continues on.
Okay. Blum, blum, blah, 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 blah.
Hey, Mike, we had some emails.
Did we?
We did.
Yes, we did, Colin. Right, I just mentioned my name quite a bit. So we had an email. Some emails. And one of them was from Parthenop Nails, Greg. And it says, I can imagine Chinny telling a joke like this. My mate said, I've got this great new game. You can even use it, that little stick thingy on the controller to make your characters have a piss. Analog, I replied. No, mate, he said. Just a piss. Past it. It's funny.
Game joke.
I think Chinny is my new guru. I agree a huge amount with what he says while I enjoy the gameplay of Skyrim and find it interesting to wander around in an open world, bashing and collecting things. I find myself constantly having to overlook all the things that I think are just totally stupid. This isn't limited to Skyrim, and it isn't even limited to games. I feel the same way about books, TV, and movies too.
So basically life. I can just see him walking around, that's just stupid.
I have to forget that I think goblins, gnomes, hobbits, and pretty everything with a made-up name is absolutely stupid and means nothing to me. I'm going to a town with a stupid name to meet someone with a stupid name who is going to send me on a task that I can't understand because it's full up of stupid names. On the way, I battle some made-up creatures with my made-up weapons and win some kind of pointless reward where I can level up my whatever it's called.
Parsnip runs our site, more or less. And why is he playing video games?
Sometimes I can't overlook that, but with Skyrim, something still drew me in. And I clicked the Gamefly Keep It button. And I put it to one side for Christmas. So, Skyrim, this Parsnip shares my kind of problem with it. And that's what it is, you know. Everything's kind of like got made up names and it's just, God, I don't care what you're talking about. So,
this is why you love Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Right, we've got another one from Shinyverse. And he says, hey guys, I was hoping you could relay the message about our Battlefield 3 bi-weekly community event. This is me talking now, Shinyverse. No, go away. What do you think this is? Some kind of podcast about your site. This is Shinyverse again. Join the Gaming for the Elderly for our 2 for Tuesday on Battlefield 3. That's right, 2 sessions of Battlefield 3 on Tuesday, December 13th. The first session is from 8 till 11 p.m. in the UK, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we take a break for tea and biscuits. The second session is 8 till 11 p.m. on the East Coast, which is 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So
I would like to point out, I think we've been recording long enough to have missed both those sessions if it was this week.
No. It's on the 13th, so it's fine. And he goes on, who's invited? All Gate members. Friends and family are welcome, noobs and veterans alike, and veteran gamers. This is purely a social event, so leave any competitive attitudes at the door. Absolutely no talent is required to play, because Chinny will be playing, and he's better than everyone. We especially encourage new members to attend, play a few games, and meet some of the Gaming for the Elderly veterans. Thanks for relaying the message, guys. Hope you don't change it and make Chinny say some things that are not in the email. Hope to see everyone there. Jason, Shinyverse, and the OC Podcast fan. P.S. If we have a full party when you get online, please message one of us and we'll start up a second party ASAP so no one is left out without a teammate or a chat partner.
Okay.
Ta-da.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, Shinyverse. Yeah.
Thank you, Shinyverse. Absolutely.
Jason.
Yes, Jason. Thank you.
I'll be your chatty partner.
Rich will definitely be your chatty partner.
You can, but they just don't stop talking.
He's good like that. So we're going to continue on with the theme of Question of the Week. So basically, listening to our debates on all of our awards, if you're feeling there's a game that you disagree that it was taken off the list and shouldn't have been eliminated, or maybe one we missed, chime in. Let us know. We just very well may bring it back.
Kate Johnson.
Yeah.
Kate Eve Johnson.
Moving on. Hey, playdates. Chris usually is here for playdates, but he's not. So I'm going to handle it real fast. Not a whole heck of a lot going on. Some stupid live show podcast thingy's probably happening on Friday night. Veteran gamer-ish maybe 10 p.m. I'm assuming Gross Mountain time. yeah. So you guys are doing a live show, I take it? 10 o'clock on Friday?
We are, yes. It's going to be our 100th episode of Veteran Gamers. Remember when we had the upper 100th episode of the Overseas Connection? We did nothing.
Yes.
We just went, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But this time we're doing a live show on Veteran Gamers. If you want to join in, go to veterangamers.co.uk and all the information and everything will be there how to do it. It's basically like a URL that you have to click and it opens up iTunes and it's done. It's pretty easy. We'll probably be broadcasting that about 10 minutes before 10 p.m. hopefully with some kind of generic broadcast or something that I might make up. And we'll be live and we'll be taking in calls so people can call in, tell us what they're playing, tell us what they think of the year or whatever they want to talk about, and some gaming confessions. So if you've got some confessions that you want to get off your chest, call in and confess live on the show, and we have to consider if we can redeem you there on the spot. Or you have to live forever with that confession.
See, I already have
I've got a confession. I'm ringing up.
Good.
I'm going to ring up.
Good.
I'm going to give a confession right now. As we're finishing out this podcast, we have recorded so long, I had to start feeding my son so he could eat. So, yes, that is my confession. Live.
Dedication.
Yes. But, hey, also Friday night, if you don't want to be part of the Veteran Gamers live show, which, I mean, hey, Mike just a great pitch sell for it, so why would you not want to be part of that? But maybe you just want to do some racing. Friday night races, they're going to be happening. They happen quite a, you know, basically throughout the whole night. So starting at 4 a.m. UK time, 11 p.m. East, 8 p.m. PST. Yes, Colin agrees. Friday night racing, it's fun.
Sounded like he was doing an impression of a car.
Yeah, he tried. He does. He does try. But yeah, so that's going on there. And then apparently Sunday something's going to happen with Veteran Gamers.
They'll probably announce it
on the live show.
Yeah, because like, we usually record the Veteran Gamers on a Monday and do the Overseas Connection on a Tuesday. And at the end of the show on Veteran Gamers, Duke usually announces what the game's going to be for the play day. And obviously we've not recorded one yet, so I don't know what it's going to be.
Madness, I tell you.
Listening to the live show to find out, folks.
Yeah. Updates on the F1 2011 Hot Lap Challenges and Forza 4 Hot Lap Challenges. I don't have any because Chris isn't here, and I didn't have time to look it up. Nor did I look up the R3 Championships. So I don't know who the current top three are, but I'm sure there are places in our forums to find it. We're going to move on, though, to birthdays because we've got quite a few birthdays. Apparently a lot of people are busy right about now. Mr. Spike... happy birthday. VanMan68, happy birthday. Turnkey1980, my son says happy birthday. He also says happy birthday to Sinew Moon. And our most important birthday, and Colin agrees, CPM Matthew, happy birthday. 34.
Happy birthday.
Holy smokes, or is that 54?
No, he's 34.
Yeah. It's just one step closer to my age, Chris. You're not going to be happy. Trust
I can't believe he's younger than me. He feels like he's my father figure.
He does have kind of a fatherly figure, doesn't he? He does. Hey, I want to say hello to new members on the site. India, Raging PDM, Fungui66. These are some harsh names here. Cosine, LEH, Thrax. I don't know, Thorfax? I don't know. You guys help me out here. Come on.
The next one I'll buy it for.
DJ Warby. Nura Stu. Chopney. I didn't even know what this
was. I only got Chop NY. Like, you know.
Foot Mom Mesa 10.
Foot Mom Mesa.
Amras 89. And thanks for joining the site. Participate. Have fun.
Give us your first names.
Yes, dude. Give us your first names. And, Rich, would you do me a favor and read out the community spotlight from Parsnip?
Yes, Parsnip sent in a little message for us. Hi, guys. I apologize for not seeing the spotlight last week. I spent all day Tuesday thinking it was Monday. So, down to this week. I'd like to spotlight Cardinal X Menez for winning the Super V8 R3 Championship. and Lofty B for donating 2,100 Microsoft points for the prize. So how can there be an R3 championship on this week?
Well, I guess there can't be.
Edit, delete, no R3. A great time was had by all, and we're looking forward to the mini racing tournament. Yes, I did see something going up in the forum for that. So there is a mini racing tournament starting up, so get reading that and you'll find the specs and everything. And that's going to start
all this is in
January.
This is all Forza,
yeah. Forza 4.
Yeah.
I might join that because I might have it by then.
Yes. All right.
Closing notes, Gregors.
Yeah, it is time. It is time for the closing notes. So if you want to email the show, by all means, send us an email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. See how I took that right out of your hands? Not even making you guys work anymore. You get a coast. If you want to tweet us and tweet Rich specifically, since he monitors the Twitters like there's no tomorrow, @OC_podcast.
And Rich, not at John Virgo.
No, definitely not. iTunes and Zune reviews, please continue bringing them. We will check up on those as we close out the year. And as I mentioned before, probably going to be doing a little promotion around the old iTunes Zune review contest again, but something a little more inviting to all members, not excluding anybody. So new members, old members, we got it in the works. So we'll have more details on that as we get them. All right. Rich, shout-outs, go.
Shout-out to Valve for getting into bed with Defense Grid and getting deep and dirty under the duvet covers. Love it. Can't wait for that. And also, shout-out for all the boys that were on Battlefield 3, because that was a great night. I enjoyed that thoroughly. And
I heard The 360 Gamer guys was talking about that thing that you... Was it you and Headcase was talking about?
That thing you did to him.
Yeah. I've got my own, like, sex podcast or something. You know, I might have to start one up now. That's the only problem, you know? So, stay tuned, folks. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's me done, anyway.
Okay. Mike. Shout outs.
Yes, I would like to shout out. I'd like to shout out, the Veteran Gamers, of course, for having their good show this week. What a fine podcast. I'd shout out Duke's Gath as well, because he's been watching a film called The Room. And if anybody's watched the film, The Room, then you will be in on this fantastic little joke about how bad it is. And, Duke's best super friend mate, Tom Bissell, is going to be writing a book on the ridiculous film The Room, which is even more funny. And yeah, shout out to Yummy Bacon, which is also Scott, who answered some questions for me about some stuff that I had, some stuff about like capturing and all this. And yeah, The Likely Lad, because I'm looking at his name right now, so I'll shout out him as well. That's me.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to shout out Nick P238, Knight XXXL, GamerGirl 27, and The Real Defoe over at Lousy at Gaming. And I had a question for you, Mike, actually, regarding Duke. Did I read this correct, that he is doing a little experimentation with the old wheelchair?
Yeah, he's doing a blog, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I believe he's experimenting around with... basically experiencing what life is like in a wheelchair. And I believe it is Duke. If it's not Duke, he's referencing somebody that's doing it. But either way, I applaud. That is a crazy undertaking. And but talk about an eye-opening experience. So big props. And, of course,
I don't know about that. I don't know. I'll have to have a chat to him.
Yeah, you definitely have to ask him about it. Big happy birthday to Chris, again, because, he chose the perfect time to bow out. He didn't want us to sing him happy birthday, so that's why he avoided the show.
Yeah.
We now
we'll
know.
We'll sing it next week.
Yeah.
Floppy kiss for Chris.
We can sing it. We can sing it next week. His birthday's on the 10th.
This is true.
Saturday.
Yes, there's time.
So the Tuesday, it's only about 3 or 4 days after. You could still sing Happy Birthday.
Oh, yeah. You get like 3 days before, 3 days after. It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. We're done. That's it. We're out of here. Yeah. You following me?
I'll roll with it, brother.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah, your brother Sam. Can't you tell Dexter's just been on in my ass?
Yeah, apparently.
That guy just got free in the chest, so you watch yourself, Griggers. Troll.
It's gone.
I ain't got one. No, I'll put it up there. It's just that I've been busy today, so I didn't get a chance.
Hey, your busyness is not my problem. We get paid lousy money for this.
Tell me about it. That's why I've got no...
That's why I'm a diva, because I get paid wicked money for this.
Apparently Mike's the only one making money off this whole situation. The hell are you guys talking about? Do I want to know?
There's a, you know the game Snooker?
Snooker. In fact, I was thinking about that. I was listening to your show the other day. It's a veteran gamer show.
Snooker, right?
Yes, Snooker.
Snooker has a commentator called John Virgo. He's an ex-snooker player, and Rich sounds exactly like him, despite what he says, right?
No, I don't.
And now you can get over at Rich and say, no, but let's save time and say you do, right? And one of kind of like the key things that John Virgo usually says, that the white ball, same pool, Greg, the white ball is known as the cue ball.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's same thing, billiards.
So when the ball goes in the pocket, when it goes in off, right, John Virgo usually says, where's that cue ball going? You know, like, that's kind of like one of his sayings. And I just wanted Rich to say it, because it made me laugh.
Rich, you sound just like him.
Fuck off, Greg.
You heard it on the Metric Gamers then, I guess, right?
All right. I'm now ready.
True story.
Off 12 now.
I know.
Our lights. This is the latest we've ever started.
I know. We gotta roll.
I'm tired as well.
Fuck. Alright, here we go.
Here we go. Ba, 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 ba.
Glad we had that break. Needed that.
I really needed that, to be honest. Like that 3 day break that we've had. Whew.
You guys done? Please, speak. Don't be afraid, Mike. Did Mike left us.
Mike.
Damn it, Mike, where did you go?
What, sorry?
He's come running off for a copy of Dark Souls.
No, I'm here. Sorry. I wasn't. No, what? Battlefield. So no, I'm fine. I'm fine. God, it's so late, listeners. It's so late. I had a long day. What? Greg, what do you want? I'm awake.
Duke Nukem Forever.
What about it?
Should we include... Oh, you're killing me, Smalls. All right, gentlemen. I have to go make
Good
peace
night.
With the wife. She walked in. She's like, what the hell? You're still recording? Yeah. Trying to feed the son while doing it? Not so successful. I'm wearing his food, by the way. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real-time are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.